Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I got a 9:30 Zoom with Michael Chandler, who is a UFC fighter, lightweight. University of Missouri. It's his second fight. He was a longtime Bellator guy, 10 years. And he's fighting the Oliveira guy, who I think is what, like ranked fourth or something?
Third, I believe.
What is, what's Chandler rated?
Fourth.
Oh, so it's 3-4.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's going to be tough. I watched the Watterson fight this past weekend. Poor little thing.
Yeah.
Did the best that she could. That Rodriguez chick is just a stud. UFC 262, Oliveira versus Chandler, happened on Saturday, May 15th. Toyota Center, Houston, Texas. I was at the Toyota Center when Matt Serra knocked out GSP, caught him. You can watch it live on ESPN+. Plus. Preliminary start at 6:30. Main car starts about 10. That's probably
famous Vegas. At Eastern.
Oh, it's Eastern time. Mike, you can get a hold of all of Mike Chandler's stuff. It's pretty much all at Mike Chandler MMA, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and anything else related to Michael Chandler, go to michaelchandler.com. So we're going to have like a Zoom deal, and he won't be able to see us, will he?
No.
I like that.
I know you do.
You know what? Screw you, bitch, because you like it too.
It's nice.
Don't think of it. Now,
but I mean, people see us on Twitch, so you know what I mean? It's not like we're being
hidden. But I mean, I guarantee these big time interviews that we're doing, they don't go monitor Twitch.
No.
They're just doing a whole bunch of interviews to a whole bunch of stupid radio people all day to promote their deal that they're doing. You know, like we're just part of a radio roundtable. Although Caveman kind of slices us out our own little real estate because we're big time.
That's right.
And I'm so good. Caveman often is like, hey, listen, we can't go the standard Grand Rapids 10. We need Bubba. We need the Bubba is a big timer 20.
Mm-hmm.
And they go for it. Because Bubba's part-time DoorDasher, too.
You going to tell him that?
You know what, part-time DoorDasher? Now, Blitz, I can go to other screens. Like, I could go look at Twitch right now.
Yeah, you just can't play anything with audio.
Okay, I can't. But what I'm saying is, like, my left screen is where he's coming up at, right?
Correct.
So I can.
You can do whatever you want with the right screen.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, right screen, Willie.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what has been the seventh man? They're very critical, almost too critical. They're wired like Blitz.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be interesting to see what they've been saying about my DoorDashing. You know, think Blitz. Hopefully, Chris Spada from the St. Pete Times doesn't get a hold of that information. Because remember when they did the whole big "Where Are They Now" deal? That
yeah.
Big front page article on me, and I really hadn't quite. I wasn't at that time DoorDashing.
Oh.
Now I am. DoorDashing is, listen, I don't really do it for the money. It's kind of cool.
Sure.
But I do it for the money.
Sure, sure. Because it's cool. Because it's cool. We'll go with that.
Is that what we're going with?
Yeah, yeah. We'll do it.
I'll tell you what's cool. Was when I look at my bank account and there's like 90 extra dollars in there.
That means you do it for the money.
Mm.
I think that's why most people do it.
For money? Not because they.
Not because it's cool.
Not because it's their passion.
No, yeah. I mean, DoorDashing.
You have a passion for getting people their food.
Yeah, I like the money.
Of course,
I like the money.
But I think you also like to work too.
Oh my
God! How about Bubba's Cankles?
Bubba's Cankles likes to work. How about 23? How about 23,000 large?
Hell yeah!
He said he hates that you have to DoorDash.
No, don't do that, guys. Don't do that.
He does it because it's cool.
I mean, I'm just doing it because I'm grinding. I'm trying to save money. I'm just trying to because I'm kind of paying for a little bit of Tyler's racing right now, too. So that's kind of getting expensive. And so I'm just grinding. Tyler's grinding. We're all just grinding. We're just grinding so we have a couple extra $100 in our pocket. No big deal.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Why do you DoorDash when above a $199 can make $3,000? Because
always need more money.
Because I got $33,000 of expenses here.
Because Ethereum is like $4,300.
Because,
oh my God.
Because my payroll is $17,000 a month. I'm just saying. Like, I got a bit. I signed the front of the checks, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I got a real business going on here. That's what a lot of the radio personalities that talk smack about me here in town don't realize, that they don't have to run a business.
Nope.
They just show up, do their show. Play in a band, just do some stupid stuff. Don't have any other, you know, like you're not
responsible for other people and their living.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of am.
You very much are.
And so that's why Anna and I will be bowling today, so we can make it a YouTube sensation.
Make that money.
By the way, today at noon is my.
There he is on Zoom.
Letter from Howard. And then tomorrow's Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Is this him right here?
Mm-hmm.
There he is, man. He looks pretty rugged. Just looking at him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me get him going on. I wouldn't want to mess with that guy. You can tell how cool he is by. You know, hold on. Let me see if I can find. I can't quite hear you yet, Michael. So let me see here. It's my fault. I'm completely technical stupid.
Is it on mute?
Hold on.
I was muted. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it better ever happen again. I'll beat your ass.
Yeah. You better pack a lunch.
You can't say that to this guy. You just got to sit there. As soon as you see a guy that's got ears like that, it's when you know to back it off a notch. I'm just saying.
Yeah, when you know that when the AirPods are barely sticking in, when the AirPods about to fall out.
Like if I saw you in a bar and you're starting some problems, I'd be like, listen, sir, I don't want no problems with you, okay, buddy? If you thought I looked at your wife's ass a little too long, I am so very sorry. I ain't got nothing but nothing for you, buddy. Michael Chandler, a 10-year Bellator guy. And how many championships did you have over at Bellator, Michael?
I have three.
And then just, I think this is your second UFC fight, right?
Second UFC fight. It'll be my first UFC title.
Now, when you're making the, how does the guy, like, and this is probably a stupid question, but like, when you're a Bellator guy, and I'm not trying to talk bad about anybody, but Dana, I mean, the UFC is the, you know, not that Bellator's not the big leagues, but the UFC is kind of the NFL of the MMA, is it not?
Absolutely. No, the UFC is the biggest, largest, most highly regarded MMA promotion in the world. What Dana and the Fertittas have done and built since 1993 is really why this sport is where it is as a whole. And I was able to make a living outside of the UFC because of the growth of the UFC and how they built the industry. So yeah, this was a decision that I made coming over. It was essentially just like a contract, like any NFL guy, any NBA guy, your contract comes up on its term or on its number of fights. And you decide whether or not you want to renegotiate before that last fight or you want to test free agency. I felt it in my heart to test free agency. Had one conversation with Dana, had one meeting with Hunter Campbell. We were equally yoked in a lot of different areas. They wanted me to come over. I always wanted to fight in the UFC. It was a pretty easy deal, and here we are fighting for the title.
I've actually heard that Dana, and by the way, Dana calls the show all the time. You'll never hear me speak a bad word about that guy, but I heard that Dana is pretty straight up when it comes to negotiation. Like, he's just like, you know, if he likes you and he thinks you're good, he's just pretty straight up on it. Like, he just tells you like it is.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be, you know. I'm the same way, you know, the truth is the truth, whether it's my truth or your truth. And then somewhere in between, we can find our truth together, or we can concede, or we can find a common ground. But at the onset of it, I knew, like I said, I knew I wanted to come to the UFC. I had that one call with Dana, and I essentially just told him, you know, why I thought I would be great for the organization. He was telling me why he wanted me to come over, or why I should pass up on other offers that may be even more lucrative to start. I made that decision, and I'm happy I did. Now we're going to fight for this UFC title.
Yeah, it's 3-4, isn't it? Isn't Oliveira 3 and you're 4?
Yes, sir.
That really sucks, man. I really wish you were fighting like the 10 guy or something like that. I mean, you really got your, I mean, you got your work, you got your work cut out. But, I mean, when you beat Oliveira, now the championship's vacated. So when you beat Oliveira, what happens?
So then I become champion. So I'm the champion. Then essentially,
You could be the Michael. You could be the champion on Sunday, buddy.
Yeah, that's the plan. Saturday night, man. Saturday night, we're going to have that belt. So it's.
Are you going to be like, pretty... who was that big heavyweight that used to go, Tim Silva, back when I used to, yeah. back when I used to roll, when I was on Sirius XM, they would pay me to come out to Vegas and I would do like my 2 days worth of shows at the Mandalay, and they bring all the boys, Muscle Shark, you know, Grandy, all the boys. Well, the ongoing rib was, if Tim Silva wins, he's going to never, ever, ever go. I think he even showers with his belt. I think he did.
That is not me. I actually, it's going to be like pulling teeth for them to get me to want to bring the belt places. I don't like it. It draws too much attention. You know, but we'll see, you know, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to have it. I'm excited to put it on my mantle or put it on display somewhere or bring it places when I need to, but it's going to be the culmination of a decade and a half inside this sport of really getting after it, and truly 2 decades, 21 years of fighting and training and hand-to-hand combat. When I started with as a high school wrestler, college wrestler, and now a mixed martial artist.
And it'll
be good.
And you had to walk on at Mizzou. Like, they didn't even, like, you were a walk-on, and then you went on to be like a four-timer, didn't you?
Yeah, so I was a four-time NCAA qualifier. I was an All-American by my senior year. But, yeah, I didn't have an offer of a scholarship. I was just the runner-up at the Missouri State Championships and walked onto the team. And Coach Smith, our head coach, didn't look at me for the first year, didn't say a word to me for the first year. But eventually he started realizing, man, this kid works hard and is doing the right thing in the classroom. And it all worked out well for me. And here we are fighting for the UFC title.
You may know, just because you're from Mizzou's a Big Ten, isn't it?
Mizzou's Big 12.
Okay, Big 12. But you know, all you NCAA wrestlers all know each other. It's such a small community, you know.
Yep.
And I don't know if you know this guy or not. I'm just going to mention one name, but he's a really, really good friend of mine. And he was a four-time state champion in Florida, and he went to wrestle for Michigan. And I think he might have been a 35 or a 45 guy, Eric Grahalis. Did you ever know Eric?
That sounds familiar.
And he went like 390-0 in Florida, and then went to the Big Ten. And I don't know, he never won the national championship. He was an All-American, which I think is a top six a few times. Yeah. But man, people don't realize, like, you can be a four-time state champion and still be a fish in college. Like, people have no idea.
Yeah, and when I talked to our head coach Brian Smith at Mizzou, he really changed his mind. He said I was the reason that he changed his mind on a lot of. On a lot of the ways that he recruited. You know, I think if you think about it, these coaches are recruiting 16, 17, 18 year olds, and they're going to be coaching 18, 19, 21, 22, 23 year olds in college. I mean, these young kids still haven't hit their prime in wrestling. And I didn't hit my prime in wrestling until I was like 21, 22. So as long as you do the right thing in the classroom, first and foremost, so you can actually be on the team and get the grades, you're a decent human being. You operate with integrity. You have a moral compass. And then you work extremely hard and you do the right things and you have a willingness to listen. You're coachable. You make weight. You're there for your teammates. You're a leader. These are all the intangibles that eventually result in All-American status. It's not always the four-time state champion, the undefeated state champion from all these different states that end up doing well, because sometimes those guys fizzle out in college because they took it too seriously in high school. Yep. And they were talented, but they didn't have a passion for it. A guy like me, I wasn't that talented, but I had a ton of passion for it. And that's where I found my success. And I think that's really why I'm continuing to have success in mixed martial arts. I wake up every single morning with a great gratitude to be able to do what I do. And, really enjoy my life and enjoy this way to make a living. So I'm going to squeeze every ounce of joy and contentment out of it as I can, and that's all going to culminate on Saturday night when I win this title.
Michael Chandler, part of UFC 262. It's in Houston at the Toyota Center. The last time I was at the Toyota Center, I was live there, and Matt Serra caught GSP. Do you remember that?
Oh, wow. Yeah. That was one of the craziest upsets in UFC
ever.
Title fight history.
Matt Serra didn't even believe he won. He's like, I just caught this bitch. This is GSP I caught.
Yeah. Exactly. So that was crazy. That was in Houston, huh?
Yeah, that was in Houston. Yeah, that was in Houston.
Can I ask a question?
He's not available. He's not single. You can't ask.
Oh, no, that's not what I was going to ask.
I'm sorry. Go
ahead. I want to know how much weight you have to cut by Friday.
I woke up 15 over.
Oh my God, today. Michael! Oh God. You better put the sauna suit on, Betty, and get some miles in, kid.
I got the sauna suit on under here. You just can't see it.
Wow! But you, that's so you, crazy. So do you walk like, you know, you're fighting 55, but you like you're walking around now. What
170?
167?
170.
Are you freaking? It's Mike. It's Wednesday.
No, I mean that's. I mean, you know, we got some media stuff till about, you know, one today. I'll get my first workout in at 1:30. I'll probably lose 6-7 pounds. Then do another workout later, give 6-7 pounds. I'll net about 8 pounds today. I'll wake up tomorrow about.
Yeah, but don't walk up. Don't walk onto the scale like that one dude did, and then they threw him out. You know.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. I've never missed weight.
I think he's done this before.
All right, so hold on. In college, you never ever missed weight ever.
No, it's not an option.
No, you're right.
Are you late to work? Or you know, like you just got to do things right.
It's your job. You know, it's just part of your job. Yeah. Nobody.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not even a skill. It's, you know, people say, well, you've done it so many times, you must have. You're really skilled at it. It's like, well, no, I do my job. To me, not making weight is not an option.
Well,
is not an option.
And you know your body. You've done this for so many years that you kind of got an equation as to where you need to be at what time you need to be, and it's just kind of like an equation. You know you need to be, you know, day before you need to be within 15. You can lose 7 or 8. You know, you got it. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. Obviously, the practice makes perfect, but also it's just the weight cut didn't start, you know, 8 days ago.
Right.
The weight cut started 8 weeks ago.
Yeah, that means you roll around 80. That means you roll around big ass 80 is what it means, buddy. When you're rolling around, you're rolling around 80.
I was 191 pounds probably.
You're walking around. This guy's a 200 pounder walking around the streets. This guy's a handful.
I ain't a small lightweight. I'll tell you that much.
No, you're actually on the other side of, like, you know, like Connor, he's kind of, and listen, I'm not trying to say anything bad about somebody who's just amazing, Connor, and promoter and the whole nine yards. But Connor probably at his heaviest rolls around probably what, 80?
Maybe. I think probably 176, 177.
Yeah, he's not a lot, he's lot not a big light. You are a giant lightweight. Like, you're a giant lightweight.
Yeah, I don't have the, you know, I don't have the height, but I'm also kind of a wider guy, you know, as far as like musculature, if you will. So that always makes me look a little bit shorter and a little bit squattier, and I fight with a really wide fight stance, so that makes me shorter as well. So like when I fought a guy like Dan Hooker was 6'1". He was tall as heck. Charles Oliveira is 5'10", 5'11".
I didn't see the Hooker fight, but I think it got stopped in the first, didn't it?
Yep, 2.5 minutes.
What'd you do? Did you shoot on him and then ground him pound, or did you knock him out?
Knocked him out.
For real?
That's what we're doing, man.
Now
that's
I'm not trying.
We're coming to knock people out.
I'm not trying to tip your hand or anything, but Oliveira is a jiu-jitsu guy, I think. Are you going to try to stand up? Are you going down with this guy?
Every fight starts on the feet, and I'm going to stay on the feet for as long as I'm having success there. I think I piece him up. I think as soon as he feels my power, he's going to immediately retreat. I feel like he's going to get on his back foot. He's going to immediately look to take me down, look to grab me. And he's just not going to be able to do it, in my opinion. So, you know, I think once he gets a little bit more tired, a little bit sweaty, a little bit loosey goosey, I'm not too afraid. I'm not afraid at all to take him to the ground, first of all. But second of all, it's just more of a smart tactical plan to keep the fight on the feet, go hard to the body, go hard to the head, mix things up, smoke and mirrors, smoke screens.
Throw some of those kicks in there, like what was that guy's we had on here? What was the guy's name? Broke.
Don't, Chris Weidman.
Don't do your foot like that, buddy.
Yeah, I'm not a big kicker. You know, you don't really see me throw much kicks. I got power in the hands. And I got that more of a Mike Tyson style than I do that. That kind of traditional kickboxing.
Did you watch the Waterson Rodriguez fight?
I did. Yeah, that was actually a really good fight.
God, don't get mad at me, but sometimes chicks fight better than you guys do, man. I'm just saying.
I 100% agree, and I have a theory for that. I think they have a little bit better cardio because they have a little bit less muscle mass.
Right.
So there's a little bit more, you know, their ability to have nitric oxide running through their blood. And then secondly, I think there's a much less of a threat of a knockout, so they can be a little bit more wild, you know? So obviously in men's fighting, there's just bone structure and the power that you, that they, that we throw with. There's always the chance of knockout. There's always a chance of a knockout in a female fight too. But when the two girls are 125 pounds, the chances of them knocking each other out are not that high. So great cardio. These girls are tenacious as heck, and they can really throw caution to the wind a lot of times because there's not as much of a threat of a knockout. So I love watching women's MMA. As you said, they get it after it a little bit more sometimes than the men do. So it's fun.
We had Michelle on the week, you know, a couple days before as we were helping her promote it. She's big. She calls the show in a lot. We love her. God, I just wish. I thought she won 4 and 5, and I really think that she, you know, 1, 2, and 3 could have been a push if she just didn't let the Rodriguez chick get like the last 25 seconds of her, you know, each there. It was the whole 1, 2, and 3 seemed like kind of a push, maybe Rodriguez, but then Rodriguez with like 20 to go before they hit the sticks, she'd do like a little, you know, on the fence kind of deal, get 3 or 4, and then she gets the round. I don't know. I thought it was a great fight, and we love the Karate Hottie.
Yeah, Rodriguez, I got to be honest, I've never seen her fight before. I mean, obviously I've seen Michelle Waterson fight a lot, a big fan of hers, but
that Rodriguez, man, she just rolling there stalking her, wasn't with that right.
Yeah, she's good. I realized that night she's good because Michelle Waterson's a hard she's a hard style to fight as well.
Yeah.
So the way she handled it, the power, the punches and bunches, the combinations, the cardio, she went for 25 hard minutes. It was a good fight, great performance.
Now, are you going five rounds? Michael? Are you five?
Yeah, our fight is 5 rounds. I don't believe we're going to go 5 rounds. I'd like to finish him within the first 2 rounds because it's always nice to
man,
get a quick
finish.
Man, how cool
is it, man, to be back at the hotel room way early with not a scratch on you, buddy? That's got to be the best, doesn't it?
It's the best in the world, you know, because I mean, the biggest thing, it's not even necessarily that you didn't take damage. It's more just about getting the win because mixed martial arts is so crazy. It's really... I mean, you mentioned Chris Weidman. I mean, you mentioned really bad decisions. You mentioned different injuries, the getting caught, getting knocked out when you're 1,000-to-1 favorite. You're not supposed to lose, but boom, you get caught. Matt Serra versus GSP. I mean,
right.
the tumultuous nature and the just how unpredictable mixed martial arts is, that feeling whenever the fight is over and there's no chance that you can lose anymore. That is the greatest feeling as an athlete, the greatest feeling on the planet Earth, probably, because no matter how hard you prepare, no matter how well you do, no matter how big of a favorite you are, there's always a chance, be it slight sometimes, but there's always a chance that fight could end and you could lose and you could wake up and be like, what just happened?
And there's
it's happened to me.
And there's so many instances of that. You could just sit here and cherry pick a whole bunch. And that's what makes UFC so unbelievable, because you could get a Matt Serra GSP, or you could get a really good fight like, Rodriguez Waterman, or you could get a quick knockout Chandler over Oliveira is what I'm saying.
Do you have
exactly. And that's why my wife doesn't come till like the fight before me. Cause there's no, like my mom wants to get there, watch all the prelims. Cause my mom's just kind of, you know, she's watched me compete since I was young or whatever. But my wife is like, if she gets there too early, she watches a fight, sees an injury, sees a knockout,
right,
and then sees how, and it reminds you how unpredictable it is. And
you're going into battle.
And then she sees the blood on the canvas from the two fights before. She starts getting freaked out. That's my husband's blood there. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a crazy sport, but we love it. I guess I'll keep doing it.
Do you have any pre-fight rituals that you do every time, or?
Not really. Okay. I mean, it always is pretty much the same. So it all feels like a ritual. I mean,
sure.
I just get there, get ready, get warmed up.
It's not like you wear a certain something or.
No,
okay.
No, none of that stuff. Yeah. I mean, because that's all kind of unpredictable at all.
When you're as big a stud as this guy is, man, and no matter you're wearing pink underwear or blue underwear, you're going to whip some ass. Like, it doesn't matter.
That's the goal.
Hey, listen, Michael, if you do win, I mean, when you win, bitch, we'd like to have a follow-up call, you know, saying, hey, we're your buddies and stuff. Don't forget about us, Bubba the Love Sponge.
That sounds good to me.
It is Michael Chandler. Of course, everything related to Michael Chandler can be at his website, michaelchandler.com. He's a super great guy. He looks pretty tough. He's got cauliflower ears. I'm not messing with him. As soon as he wins this weekend, he's the champion. And a lot of people don't know that you adopted, I think you adopted a little boy last year. And I don't know that a lot of people, if you necessarily get, not that you're looking for credit, but it was just, it was really a neat story about it. And
It was a few years ago, I think.
Could you give me a little synopsis of it? Because I read it in preparing for you, and I'm like, you know what, that's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago we adopted him, October 26, 2017. He was 9 months old. But ever since my wife was a high schooler, she used to volunteer at an inner city mission in Columbia, Missouri, where she was from. And she would take these little boys on dates. She would take them to McDonald's and take them to the park. Or, you know, these kids didn't really have structure in their life. A lot of them didn't have fathers or parents that were kind of out of the picture. And a lot of them are African-American. And since she was 14, 15, 16 years old, she always wanted to adopt a little African-American boy that was on her heart. And when we got together, I was obviously open to it. I hadn't ever really thought about adoption. I always wanted to have children of you know, my own biological children, if you will. We prayed about it. We talked about it. We did a lot of research, sought wise counsel. At 1:40 p.m., about a year later, a year into the process, 1:40 p.m., we got an email said, congratulations, you're eligible to adopt. Oh. At 1:46 p.m., 6 minutes later, we got a phone call that said, hey, congratulations, but by the way, there's this case down in Texas that we think fits your preferences perfectly. They sent us a picture. Immediately, my eyes welled up with tears, and I looked at my wife. I said, that's my son, and I just had this feeling, and now He is the light of our lives. He is the greatest human being on the planet. He is going to change the world. He's going to speak to his generation. He's going to be a leader in his generation because he just has a calling on his life, and he's an amazing young man. So
he's got a great support system as well, and a pretty kick-ass dad. Anybody wants to start any problems at school, I'll bring my dad here and kick some ass.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's great, and man,
you already got him doing mat time. You got him doing mat time already.
No, not really. I mean, he's in football, flag football. He's in T-ball. He's doing soccer.
Yeah.
I have a gym in Nashville. So maybe this summer I'll get him on the mats and stuff. But, you know, to me, martial arts is fun and wrestling is great. But I think it really, you know, we'll see if he takes to it. You know,
right.
If he doesn't, I'm completely okay with that. Right. If he doesn't take the sports, he takes the arts or music or whatever. We do live in Music City. We live in Nashville. So there is a no shortage of musical talent there. So we'll see. God's got a big plan on his life, and I'm just here to be the facilitator.
Chandler Oliveira for the strap this coming Saturday, UFC 262. Mike, good luck to you, buddy. And more importantly, I'd love to have you back on promoting whatever you're doing, including your next fight or to celebrate the victory here. And good luck with your little son and your wife. And pleasure to meet you, bud. And I'll be watching this Saturday night. Hope you kick some ass, bud.
Yes, sir. That's the plan. Thank you, Bubba, man. I'll see you at the top.
Hey, good luck to you, buddy. You're a great person.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Working on it.
All right, man. Thank
you. Appreciate
it, Bubba. Bye-bye. God, that guy kicks ass, man.
I sent you a picture of his family. It's too precious.
That guy's just straight money.
It's too precious.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
So Lando is supposed to be calling here. Oh, so I'm Zooming. Oh, Blitz, you got to get me off.
I am right now, yeah.
Lando Venata.
Lando Venata from River Ridge. That's all you need to know, right?
River Ridge High School alum.
Yeah.
Now, when did he move to Florida?
He moved when he was 13, I think.
Where did he move from? New Jersey?
Yeah. Neptune, New Jersey. Yeah. I don't know that he moved to Florida at 13.
Into Pasco County.
To Newport Richey, really, in 2010. That's
yeah, so he went from New Jersey.
I'm going
to
come in there, dude, but I can't connect.
All right, fine. He went from New Jersey to Newport Richey.
And he's currently in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That's where Karate Hottie trains.
Yep.
Well, that's where Jackson Winklevoss is located. So that's where a lot of them do. John Jones is out there.
Isn't John Jones the greatest of all time?
The greatest of some would say. People are saying.
It, like, who would win in a John Jones versus Randy Couture?
John Jones. I mean, you can't compare the new age guys to the old age guys because the level of skill, they paved the way, the old guys. It's just tough to say.
Skill and training.
Yeah, skill and training, diet, and finances. I mean, they're able to live a different lifestyle now than those guys were. Those guys were mechanics and then, you know, until 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
At night and then training for 4 hours and then, you know, weekend warrioring it.
Has John Jones ever lost a fight?
Not legitimately.
No, he hasn't.
What do you mean legitimately?
He got disqualified.
Oh, because of drugs? Yeah. Or weed, I thought.
I guess that becomes a no contest.
Now,
or whatever.
Is Dana and John Jones, they're at odds, are they not?
Yeah, he does have one loss, and it was a DQ. I think he need a down opponent now, or something
but,
like that.
Yeah, he fucking.
Okay. Yeah.
Went like 12-6 on a motherfucker.
Illegal downward elbow on Matt Hamill in 2009.
That's not even really a loss.
And he's got a no contest against Cormier because of...
Now, what's the big sexy matchup? Jones versus that one guy?
Ngannou. And Ngannou will smash him.
Ngannou will beat John Jones.
Yes.
The guy who won this last time?
He's too powerful. There's no way Jones can match his power. I don't care how fast he is.
What do you think Lando would say?
He's probably trains with Jones, so I think he will be on Jones's side because he's Jackson Wink MMA. So
yeah, that would be smart.
There's no way he goes against Jones.
How often do you think Lando sees Jones every day?
Probably once a well, not these days. Probably not as much. But
he's
when
trying to connect, Bubba. You gotta
when Jones accept. Is training, probably once a week, twice a week.
I wonder if John Jones kind of the enforcer there?
No.
Oh, hold on. Here's Lando right there. It looks like he's in a tanning bed or something. Hold on.
He looks like he's going to kick her ass.
It looks like he's going to kick my ass. Is what it looks like.
He is.
I don't want any problems with this guy, okay?
He's smiling.
Hold on. Let me see here.
Oh, he's doing it.
Oh, he's flexing.
Yeah,
hold on.
I'm scared.
Hold on. I'm going to hook up with you here, buddy. And you're Newport Richie, so I'm Pasco County friendly. Don't get mad at me. Hold on. I'm trying to get him hooked up. We've been having a lot of UFC guys on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, mute.
Looking thick and rugged there.
He is looking thick and rugged.
It says unmute.
Relax,
I'm trying to unmute it. I'm trying to get it going. I don't know how to do any of this stuff.
Alt M.
Start video.
Is it working?
No.
Hold on. There he is. Oh, it was on your end, Lando, not my end, buddy. Son of a bitch. I'm going to get John Jones to beat your ass at camp.
Good luck.
Come on, Lando. You think you could take John Jones? Don't even lie.
I don't.
No, that's the right answer, buddy. I'll tell you right now. If John Jones walks up to you at the Albuquerque camp and says, hey, motherfucker, you're talking some shit about me. I'm going to whip your ass. Do you just say, please, John, don't. I don't want any of this problems.
John, have a seat. Let's discuss this.
Yeah. John, let's get high and not worry about this bullshit, okay? Hey, Lando.
What's up, man?
Hey, you know, we're from Tampa, obviously. You're from Newport Richie. Well, not you're from Jersey, Newport Richie.
I grew up most of my life. I lived in Florida.
What was it like? What was it like?
I grew up listening to your show a bit, man.
You did?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
You probably know a real good friend of mine, Eric Grahalis.
I know of him. I know of Eric.
He was a bad motherfucker. And then he tried to...
I watched him lay cradle people in the state finals in 2009.
I went...
It was bad.
I went his senior year. He was like 7,000-0 or some bullshit. And it was at Lakeland, the state finals. And I know a little bit about wrestling, but not a lot. But I know that a grapevine is some bad shit. And it's kind of like disrespectful to get a guy in a grapevine, you know, like it makes a guy look like a fish, you know. And I said, hey, Eric, do you think you can? Now, this is a state final. So you're not dealing with a bunch of, you know, you're dealing with some guys. And I said, do you think you can get a grapevine? And he says, I can get a grapevine on every one of the guys if I wanted to, but I'm only going to do it to one because you get a lot of heat on the deal.
Yeah, and that dude would. State finals, state championships. He would literally do whatever he wanted to whoever he wrestled.
And then he went to Michigan. Then he went to Michigan, and he never won the NCAAs. But I think he was an All-American.
Nah. Did he All-American?
I think he was an All-American 2 years. The problem with Eric was, you know, he probably would have been a national. He probably would have been a national champion at 37. But he just always wanted. You know, he was a. He was horrible at cutting weight, and he wanted to roll around 55. And I mean, 37 and 55 are just eons apart.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. When I went to college, I went for a semester at a D1 school, and I wrestled 8 matches at 174 pounds. And
You were 174?
Oh no, I was more than 174. That's just what I wrestled at.
Wow.
So where are you on your weight cut now? You're fighting 145 at 262, right?
Yep.
You look spent. You look tired like you've been running about 5,000 fucking miles.
Nah, literally, I just rolled up. I just rolled out of bed. I'm still in bed, man. That's all.
He's still in bed. That's how he rolls. He said, "Fuck cutting weight. I'm in bed, bitch."
I got some time.
Well, I'm not trying to be a dick or nothing, but this guy you're fighting, I mean, if you don't beat him, I'm never talking to you again. Yeah. I'm just telling you that right now.
Rightfully so.
I mean, this guy, I mean, you should fucking take this guy, and then you need to go right to, like, maybe the Mitchell kid. Fight that guy, and then right up to the Rodriguez fucking whatever.
Hey, Bubba, it's like you've been reading my mind, man. It's like Groovy versus Thug Nasty.
Yeah,
that's a good kind of fight.
You beat this British guy to just beat the fuck out of him, and then go to Mitchell, beat the shit out of him, and then go to maybe Ortega or Max, right to fucking Max.
That's a jump.
Yeah. Well, you know, you
I'm
know.
I'm about it.
No,
it's
you go.
Jump. You know what, man?
It's hey, jump
hey,
for.
We're gonna hire you as a matchmaker for the
Hi, hey, Dana, it's Bubba. And by the way, Dana and our friends. Hey, listen, I got this fucking Lando guy all figured out. He just whipped this guy's fucking British ass, whipped the fuck out of him. Fight of the night, 25K bonus, the whole nine yards. And then we're going to fucking fight Mitchell. He'll whip Mitchell, make it three or five rounds. I don't give a fuck. And then we're going to bring him up to probably either Ortega or Max. And then the rest is history. He'll have the strap and, you know, he'll be a fucking $400,000 a night guy.
When we get off this call, we're just going to do away Dana, and we're going to take that.
The thing about Dana is he'd probably appreciate you talking to him like that. He probably would appreciate – everybody's always kissing his ass and shit. If you just talk Dana straight up, that's what works best with him.
Hey, Dana's a cool guy, man. Cool dude.
We have Dana on all the time, and he is like – he is the – when I was on Sirius XM, they used to fly me out there – and I'd stay at the Mandalay, and then they had this little studios, and I'd have all, like, Couture and fucking Franklin and all the old-timers. And and it was just, and they don't even need the promotion now because they're such a machine.
Yeah.
How do you match your entrance into UFC with the Ferguson? Like, everything else is just kind of a fucking letdown, ain't it?
Shit. I don't know, man. Like, the second one was even a bigger step up. And did you see the second part, the knockout, the spinning kick?
Yeah, that fucking spinning heel kick.
How do I top that? That's the question.
Hey, I watched your friend and a friend of mine. We had her on the air last Thursday, the Karate Hottie. God, you know, fuck. She fucking hung in there, did she not?
That was a close fight.
You know what? She won 4 and 5. And that up kick in 5 almost knocked the bitch out. And if she lost the fight on the final 30 seconds of rounds 1, 2, and 3, that fucking Rodriguez bitch would just have like a little late round burst against the deal, and that would give her the deal. I was so fucking mad about it.
It was close, man. It would have been nice to see her win that fight. You know, with that fight, it's just she was so undersized fighting at flyweight. Being like she's a small feather or small strawweight already, and then not having a cut, the other girl not having a cut, makes the size difference even that bigger.
Now, you know, you're a decent sized lightweight, but you're a fucking Andre the Giant for 45.
Hey, I know. I'm excited.
What do you weigh right now? Fully unclothed, wiener hanging out. What do you fucking weigh now? 55?
180.
No, 180. Bitch, you don't weigh 180. What do you weigh right now? Right now.
Bro, I didn't, I'm telling you, I just woke up. I didn't even get out of my bed yet.
All right, well, I know you weighed before you went to bed. You probably drifted too. So what are you?
Yeah. If I had to guess, I would say high 50s.
High 50s?
Ooh. High 50s.
So you have 14 pounds to lose between now and tomorrow at noon?
Yeah, 11.
Can you do it?
Oh yeah, I've done bigger cuts to make 55.
But don't be like that guy that got on the scales a couple weeks ago and they fucking threw him right on out.
Yeah, you're an exciting fighter, but missing weight is Dana's pet peeve.
You want to get on Dana's doghouse, buddy. You'll be right back in Newport fucking Richie, I'll tell you that right now.
I've showed up to fight weeks before lightweight at like 174 pounds.
174.
I've had 19 pounds per cut. So this time, much closer.
I know you're in bed now. I know you're in bed now.
It'll come off.
I know you're in bed now, but today is going to be a motherfucker, ain't it, buddy? It's all about just running 7,000 miles. And I mean, right? I mean, you just stay in bed a few more minutes because today's going to suck.
You know, it's not that bad, man. It's not that bad. Tomorrow morning is just going to suck.
Tomorrow morning, what, up at 5, and then you got to weigh in up at 5, fucking sauna Willie with, you know, couple fingers down the throat, Jones, and next thing you know.
Man, no, it's you can't sleep the night before. You just lay here.
You're cramping up, right?
Invisible. You just look at pictures of food all night because you're hungry and thirsty.
How about sex? No sex.
You want to talk about no libido, man? Go drop 10 pounds of water.
Have you ever considered taking like a sleep aid the night before weigh in, or are you allowed to?
People use melatonin a lot.
Yeah.
Melatonin won't even scratch the surface with me. I need the industrial shit.
Well, what are you using, Bubba?
Using?
An Ambien, a couple K-Pens, fucking half a Zanny, a little bit of weed. I'm right where you need to be.
NyQuil.
I'll wake up at noon and be like, all right, let's finish the weigh cut. Weigh-in's already over.
Lando will fight Mike Grundy. And they're both unranked, but this is going to get fucking Lando a chance to – I mean, realistically, I was talking about what the natural progression would be, but, you know, you guys are both unranked. But, I mean, I think when you whip this guy's ass, I mean, you probably get like a Mitchell or somebody like that, won't you?
That's what I think. I think top 15 are pretty damn close to it.
And then you only got to – and you go to like the 7-8 guy, Mitchell, and then you're up there in the conversation with Max and Rodriguez and things, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's all about putting on performances. I could beat this guy, and if I beat him in a boring way, it ain't got to do shit.
Are you going to choke this guy out? Are you going to choke Grundy out? Or are you going to strike Grundy to death, or are you going to fucking submit him?
Yeah, we'll see what happens, but it would be beautiful just to go out there and start to Masvidal style. Bam.
Would you rather punch? Would you rather stop the fight by punch or by chokeout?
Always punch.
Are you big on calf kicks?
Not anymore.
I'm not big on getting hit with them. I'll tell you that.
Man, we had Weidman on the Thursday.
Weidman too.
Well, I mean Weidman, Chris Weidman, poor fucking guy. I mean, man, that's brutal. I couldn't even watch it too. Like, what was it? Oh my god.
Bro, so sad.
Does that make you double think doing a calf kick?
No, this guy's fucking calf
kick. It's like the chance of that happening is so slim.
Lando isn't a calf kicker. He's more of a back heeler kind of guy, doesn't he? You like to hit with that fucking that spinning back fucking heel deal.
I like kicking people in the head.
You like kicking people right in the fucking face, don't you?
That's what I'm fucking saying, man.
You knocked that one dude out that when you knocked him the fuck out, like you didn't even have to go up on him. Like a lot of times you knock a guy out, then you got to kind of get back on him and lay some fucking 12 to 6s. Well, the one dude just went right to fucking sleep. That was one of my favorites.
The walk-off KO is one of the most beautiful moments of my life.
Now when you do something like that, do you get fight of the night and punch of the night and everything?
You get performance of the night. You get an extra 50K.
Oh, there you go. Now, there you go.
That's not bad.
Now, Lando, you step off the scale tomorrow. You're right at 145.8. What's the first thing you eat and drink?
We got some rehydration. And then we do that. We do liquids for like 3 hours, and then after that, we'll start.
I mean, you kind of got to be as much when you're making weight like that and your body's starving, you got to be kind and you got to fight the next day. You got to kind of be, it's somewhat of an edge. You got to be kind of smart on what you put in your body because your body is just, you know, like you just can't go eat some fucking fries or some shit like I would.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to do a shitty weight cut on the back end. You know, it's really easy to just be like, cut all the weight and then go eat at Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Just feel like trash.
Unlimited salad and breadsticks.
You know what I'm saying? They had breadsticks and soup.
When's the last time you were back in Florida, Lando?
September.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was down there September. Yeah, for like a few weeks.
You know Rob Kahn?
Yeah, I feel like
He owns the Gracie Tampa franchises, like all the Gracie places around here.
Yeah, how do I know that name? I definitely know the name. I can't place the face.
I think he trained Matt Arroyo or something like that.
Yeah, okay. Great Grace of Tampa.
Yeah, okay. Like when you visit, do you roll up into another dojo or whatever and fucking hang out, or you know, just stay?
I go and visit my buddy PJ, like Nobu and I out guys, over in Newport Ridge, and they do black belts over there.
Didn't you go to high school with our producer that's here?
Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you kick his ass? Did you used to kick his ass? Was Josh pretty tough, or was he a fish?
Man, he's so much bigger than me. It's hard to kick his ass.
And he's a filthy Chilean, too. I mean, he's got a temper on him. You wouldn't
fucking believe. I kick his ass in sprints all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He bit me in sprints all the time, Bubba.
What did Lando wrestle in high school?
Wait, 155, 165, I think?
152 and then 171.
Jeez.
And you got fat your senior year.
I didn't cut any weight. I was jacked though. I was lifting a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Can you imagine how much ass he was getting too? I bet the girls were going crazy on him. All that Pasco County ass.
Yeah, he's a Pasco 15.
He's a Pasco 15. He's got his teeth, tattoos, and he's a fighter. That's fucking straight spreading for a Pasco girl right there.
You know what I'm saying, bro? The lollipop.
He goes lollipops.
Oh, and you know, at lollipops, man, there are no rules at lollipops. Man. You just give the bouncer $20 and you get head and everything in the back.
Or calendar girls.
Bare assets.
Brass flamingo.
Vine knows them all.
The brass flamingo.
Oh, yeah.
My neighbor used to work there.
You don't mess with him.
Hey, listen, motherfucker. When you win this weekend, we want to have a returned interview just saying that, don't forget about us when you get big time, asshole.
Yo, next time I'm down in Florida, let's make it happen first.
Yeah, I'll just fucking rear naked choke your shit right on out.
Let's go, yo. Let's go. You can't do it over the Zoom, bro. Hey, we gotta see you in person.
I was talking shit to Rob Kahn one time.
I'm like, flex on you real quick, Bubba.
Oh, pop that shit, cousin.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, one time, I was talking shit to Rob Kahn. You know, and he's a Gracie black belt. He's old as shit, but he's still tough as fuck. And I'm like, you know, whatever. I wrestled high school. That motherfucker tapped me out in 8 seconds. 8 seconds.
Yeah.
That's how much of a fish I am. The problem is I was on his guard or half guard or some bullshit. And the way that you can survive with these guys is to not go on offense. Because the minute you go on offense, then they use their offense, your offense, to fuck you up. If you just sit there like a little turtle, you got a little bit of a chance.
You know what I'll tell you the best advice, you got to go against like old school jiu-jitsu black belt. Fetal position.
Yeah, just get in like a little turtle.
Super tight ball.
Yeah, just get in fucking real tight, and then they just can't do nothing.
Grab those ankles.
Can't get your limbs. Can't get your neck.
Yeah, and he got me in a fucking wrist lock, which I think is a real fish move. Like, if you get caught with a wrist lock, you're a real fish, aren't you?
Hey, man. I mean, we don't say nice things about people that wrestle wrist lock.
What do you catch guys in? Like, what's your signature Lando move?
They just call me Leg Lock Lando.
Leg Lock Lando? That's what the girls call you. What the wrestlers call you. I got you out of bed, bitch. At least I got you out of bed. We're going to at least start burning calories now. Come on.
Man, hey, man. Hey, you made today's morning a little bit better.
Good. So when you win next week, bitch, and after you get done icing your face down, well, you're not going to have no damage on your face. But I'd say by Tuesday, when you got your legs underneath you, call me back up, and we'd love to say hi to you.
What's your prediction, Lando? It's good.
Lando, what's your prediction?
Fucking head kick slaughter.
First round, second round?
First, second, third. I'm saying early second.
Do you visualize the fight? Do you play it out in your head? Like,
oh, so many times. Yeah.
Now, Lando, are you a fist bumper or not? Because some dudes will give the guy like, okay, right before you start, like, I got you. But then some motherfuckers just come right on in, like a bunch of assholes.
You know, man. Unless I got beef, I'm usually a fist bump.
Yeah, but
Gundy
you...
seems like a nice guy.
But do you guys? Can you feel it out? Like if you can probably feel it out pre-fight whether the guy wants to be kind of cool or not, can't you?
100%. 100%.
do you ever get your guy, like a guy pre-fight when Herb Deeb's telling you all the shit, and you'd be like, I'm going to fuck your shit up, motherfucker. Look at that bullshit haircut of yours, you cow flower ear, motherfucker. I'm going to kick your ass. Like, they ever say that?
Is it, have you watched my fights with Bobby Green?
Hey, listen, you have to tell Karate Hottie that you are on our show, because she loves our show, because we don't bull, because we're fucking cool. And we talked to her last week, and will you tell her that we absolutely love her? And she, by the way, she's got a nice ass, does she not?
I'll plead the fifth.
Yeah, exactly. I know her husband's tough, and he sometimes will be doing a Zoom with her, and he'll come chiming in there. We're like, oh, we're sorry, buddy. I mean, you talk about your wife's ass like that.
So, Lando, Jones and Ganyu, who do you got? Be real.
Be real.
I know Jones is your boy.
That's not even happening yet.
But if it happens.
If it happens in a hypothetical situation, I don't know, man. I mean, like to be real, I could say funny stuff, but to be real, like, Francis could knock him out and John could break him probably. So I don't know.
Who's the greatest of all time?
Me.
Shut the fuck up. Let's get you fucking let's get you a fight with Mitchell before we're saying that shit. Come on, Lando.
All right, deal.
Listen, honest to God, good luck this weekend. And more importantly, you know, we're huge fans of you, Lando. We're so very proud of you coming out of this area. And
Thank you. And
more importantly, when you do well this past weekend after in a couple weeks or so, give us a call back just for us to bullshit and promote what else you got going on, bud.
Let's do it, man. I'll be in touch.
All right, Lando. Thank you, buddy. Good luck this weekend.
Good luck.
See you guys.
Thanks, man.
Good luck.
Bye, buddy. Thank you.
Peace.
What a great guy. I like that motherfucker.
He's cool.
He's a regular
he's
dude.
Fucking chilled.
He's just laying in bed. You probably had a girl blowing him.
Yeah,
oh
probably.
My God.
She was in the bathroom the whole time. That's how you lose a few ounces.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. Brian knows.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's how I make weight.
Dumping
Same
sperm.
With Bubba.
Before he goes to a court case, you guys make weight.
Yeah, that's it, man. Before
Bubba
a big trial.
Need a girl for that. He's got coconut oil.
I wish we would have had a little better of a connection.
Yeah, he needed to bring that phone a little closer to his face, but that's okay.
Where's my
Hey,
He got honest attention when he did that pec flex.
Yeah,
I mean, like Lando, did you not get the Wi-Fi option there in the hotel? I mean,
no.
What the fuck?
He got the free willy.
Honey, he did have one hell of a fucking body on him, didn't he?
Yeah, they all. Well, not all, but he did for sure. Mm-hmm.
Tim Silva didn't.
No, oh, Derek Lewis Tim doesn't. But you got to get Derek Lewis on the phone. You got to.
Oh my God, my balls was hot.
Come on, man. Derek Lewis and Bubba would be the greatest, either the greatest interview ever or the worst interview ever. But either way, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
My balls was
Derek
hot.
The Beast Lewis.
Somebody sent me
He's
some...
working on it.
Yeah, he's got to make
Hold
that
on.
One
What's
happen.
What's his name?
Daniel the Beast Lewis?
Derek Lewis. Lewis.
Hold on. Derek.
Caveman sending you something right
beast.
Now.
The Beast.
It'd either go one of two ways. You'd go all Dion, try to go Dion smooth with him. I don't know if he'd buy into that.
I don't go smooth with people.
Yeah, with certain.
No, he doesn't do that.
With certain
Suck
people,
him.
You
Suck
do.
Him.
Did I go smooth with this guy?
No, you didn't have
no,
to. He's Newport.
I'm here with the winner. Oh, I know who this guy. He's one of the greatest of all time. He just had a fight.
Well, they're talking about him for the championship next if the Jones fight doesn't happen.
Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
I want this guy on the air.
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
I understand.
I understand.
I forgot. A few hours before the fight, Donald Trump called me and told me I got knocked this Russian motherfucker out because they're making him look bad on the news. You know, him and Putin and shit. Fuck what they're talking about.
I can't get this guy on. I can't get this guy on fucking fast enough. I can't get this guy on fast enough.
Saying this whole fuck. I need to sit my black ass down and do some more cardio.
He's the realest, Bubba. The realest.
Fuck what you talking about right now. I ain't trying to fight for no title right now.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about right now.
I ain't trying to fight for no title.
No gas tank, right?
Is this after he won?
Yeah.
He's saying he doesn't have the gas tank to do it. He's the realest fighter in the UFC.
Right now. Is he heavyweight?
Yeah.
I ain't trying to fight for no title right now. I don't have no gas tank like that. Shit.
Now could this guy fight John Jones?
No, he's going to fight Ngannou next.
John Jones,
the Jones fight doesn't happen.
Isn't it Jones 205, though?
Yeah, this guy's like 260.
Jones is going to be going up in weight. He'll be fighting at his walking around weight, which is an advantage because Ngannou's got to cut a few lbs to make weight, and Jones won't have to cut anything.
I know, but like after 205, then that goes like to 2. I think the 275 is the cut. Off
265, I think.
All right, 265.
And this is what this guy is.
And that's, yeah, Beast is right at the limit.
Now, how good is this guy?
He's great. He's fun, and he's exciting, and he's a great fighter.
And he's real as fuck.
Real as fuck.
Oh, 3 years in prison.
Thanks for having me. Hey, maybe next week or sometime, or 2 weeks from now, I'm going to come on your show and smoke some weed with you.
Anytime, sir. Anytime.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.